God's word is an ever-present light, guide, and encouragement for us. So I want to read today a story that is probably familiar to most of you, but perhaps you haven't spent much time in since you were in Bible class as a kid. From Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9, the story of the bronze serpent. Scripture says, from Mount Hor, they set out by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. Just a note there, if you look back in chapter 20, beginning in verse 14, the people of Israel, Moses had led the people of Israel to the land of Edom, kind of right at the southern end of the Dead Sea. And the plan was that after 40 years of wandering in the desert because of Israel's sin and the sin of their forefathers, finally God was about to take them back to the promised land and to lead them in to take the land. And so Moses began to lead them north to toward the promised land from the Sinai Desert. And the plan was to go through the land of Edom and to follow the king's highway up the western side of the Dead Sea until they reached the Jordan River, where they would go across, and they would then begin their campaign, as you know, first with the city of Jericho in the Promised Land. But when they arrived at Mount Hor, they sent and they asked the king of Edom for permission to go through the country of Edom so that they could make their way toward the Promised Land, and they were refused entry. And what that meant was that instead of having about a 60-mile journey left until they got to the Jordan River, it would be required of them that they would have to go about 90 miles south again, retracing their steps, go around the land of Edom, and then come back north, about 180 extra miles that they would have to travel. They had been wandering for 40 years and they were so close. Can you imagine how frustrated they must have been when they realized that they were going to have to go backwards again? A couple of weeks ago, Sharon and I were on our way to Ohio to visit some family members, and I-75 was closed. So we said, okay, we'll go this way and we'll try to get on this exit. Seemed like everywhere we went, the exits or entrance ramps were closed, and we found ourselves backtracking a number of times. And if you you don't know me as well as my wife does, but that kind of thing really gets to me. And I was just going crazy. And as I was reading this, I thought, you know, these people had 180 miles of extra journey to travel. They had a rough time. So they went around the land of Edom, and the people, it says, became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Have you heard that before? That has been their refrain for the last 40 years when trouble comes. Why did you bring us out of Egypt? We're going to die in this place. And they went on. There's no food and there's no water, which wasn't true, because God had been providing them manna for the last 40 years, and he had been leading them, and even at times when there wasn't water, he had miraculously provided it for them. And maybe they recognize that as it goes forward. It says, there's no food and there's no water. Well, yeah, there is food, but we don't like that food. We loathe it. We've been eating manna for 40 years. We don't like that stupid, worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten when he sees it shall live. I'm not going to have time to spend much time on this point, but I just want to point out that God doesn't take the serpents away. He gives them a remedy for snake bite instead. So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. I've chosen this passage because the people of Israel were in a similar predicament that we find ourselves in. They were in the midst of trouble. They had a problem. And their problem was snakes. I learned a few years ago about a couple who moved into a house in Minnesota. It was really their dream house, and they had bought the house. It was on kind of on a farm, and they were looking forward to being able to have a small farm and raise chickens and goats and those kinds of things. And so they moved in and were excited to settle in. And a few days went by, and they began to see a snake here and there in the yard. And a few more days went by, and they saw a few more snakes. And one morning they woke up and they looked outside, and the yard, the front yard, was literally moving and crawling with thousands and thousands of snakes. And what they actually discovered was that the snakes were living in the walls of their house. Whoa. That's a snake problem. Yeah. There are actually, I verified that story. I looked online. Of course, that doesn't always give you the truth, but I think that this is true. There are several houses across the nation that have become infested with snakes. That's the kind of problem that you probably don't want to have. In fact, I think the couple in Minnesota just had the house bulldozed. But the thing I want you to notice about this passage is verse 6, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many died. God sent the snakes. God sent the snakes. One of the questions that a lot of people ask when we face times of trouble, and I'm sure that that's one of the questions that's going around right now, is what role does God have in all of this? What is God doing? Mm-hmm. How are we to understand this as it relates to God and his purposes? Is this divine judgment on the world? Or is it just something that's happened? Because we live in a broken world where bad things do happen. It's not popular to talk about divine judgment these days. Most people want a God that's warm and fuzzy. A God that is more like a genie than a God, who just takes care of us and gives people the things that they want and who always approves of all of their choices. But what this passage and many others in scripture that are like it, what they require us to face is that God does sometimes bring trouble and hardship and pain into our lives. God sends the snakes. Sometimes the adversity that we face is simply due to the fact that bad things happen in a broken world. Natural disasters occur, we lose our jobs, the people that we love hurt us or even betray us. But the Bible is also honest about the fact that there are times when it's the hand of God that brings pain and trouble and even suffering. God sends the snakes. So why did God send the snakes? And why does God allow and sometimes even cause pain and suffering? The first thing that I think is important for us to recognize is that as you read Scripture and you get a sense of the kind of God that reveals himself in Scripture, that God is not vindictive. He doesn't hurt us as payback for the bad things that we do. He is not a tit-for-tat God. He doesn't say, "I'll show you." People do that. But God never does that. Scripture sometimes talks about God's wrath, and we usually associate that word with extreme anger that is out of control and vengeful and perhaps even with hatred. But the biblical idea of wrath is just the opposite. God's wrath is not hatred of people, but passionate, persistent indignation at sin and its destructiveness. And that was the issue with the people of Israel. God sent the snakes because they had rebelled against him again and demonstrated a lack of trust and faith. And his goal was to teach them that, in fact, he could be trusted. C.S. Lewis has said, and it's quite a famous quote, he said, "God whispers in our pleasures. He speaks in our consciences. But he shouts in our pain." Why can't God shout in our pleasure? I've often wondered that. Why can't God shout in our pleasure? Why does he have to shout in our pain? Well, the fact of it is that when everything is going well, we aren't listening. We are inclined to forget about God. And instead of depending on him, instead of trusting him, we begin to depend on things like banks and retirement accounts and toilet paper and food on the shelves of our grocery stores. We assume that life will always go on as it always has, and that our human institutions are secure and that they can provide for us all of the security that we really need. And I find this to be true in my own life, so I'm sharing it with you, and you can reflect for yourself on whether you think it's true of you. But I find that in that security of all the stuff that the world puts around me, and I assume is so permanent, it's easy to allow God to drift further and further to the margins of our lives. But if we've learned anything over the past couple of weeks, it's that our society teeters on a knife's edge. We can't assume that life will go on as it always has. And we can't assume that the things that we have always looked to as stable and permanent will always be there. In fact, they're incredibly fragile. And they cannot provide us with the assurance and the security that we need. So sometimes God has to shout to get our attention, because he knows that what we really need is him. Sometimes he sends snakes. He brings adversity into our lives, not to punish us or to hurt us, but so that we will stop trying to find life in things that can't give us life. So that we will turn to him, so that he can give us life. The fact is, the world has an even bigger problem than the coronavirus. The story of the crippled man that was brought to Jesus by his friends in Mark chapter 2 really illustrates that. You remember the story of how these four guys bring their friend on a cot, and they rig up ropes and they tear off the roof of the house that Jesus is at and they lower him down. And of course their expectation is that Jesus is going to heal him. But when the man is finally in front of him, Jesus says something that I think is really telling about our own need. He doesn't say, rise up and walk. Instead he says, son, your sins are forgiven. This man's biggest problem was the same as our biggest problem. It wasn't that he couldn't walk. It wasn't that coronavirus was threatening. His biggest problem was that he needed to be made right with God. Yes, we need to find a cure for this pandemic, and we need to support those that are working on it. But even more important than that, we need God. Mm-hmm. And not only do we need him, but he wants us.
Amen.
He created us so that he could share with us all of the riches of his life and the goodness of living in his love. God created us for more than to be happy and healthy and wealthy. He wants us to know him. He wants us to discover that he is our life, that he is our hope, and he is our peace. So sometimes he sends snakes to get our attention, so that we recognize our need for him, so that we will turn to him, and he can heal us. Yeah. The next thing I just want to point out to you is that God has provided a remedy for what we need. Mm-hmm. When God sent the snakes of Israel, he got their attention. And they turned back to him and they acknowledged their sin and they went to Moses and they said, we have sinned against God and we have spoken against him and against you. So God instructed Moses to make a bronze serpent and to raise it up on a pole so that if anyone was bitten, he could look at the bronze serpent and live. Just as God provided a remedy for the people of Israel, he has provided a remedy for us. In John chapter 3, as Jesus was speaking with Nicodemus, one of the things he said is this. He said, as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus is God's answer to our need. And that answer is more relevant than any kind of medication the FDA can give us. Just as Moses raised the snake up in the wilderness so that the people could be healed from snake bite, Jesus was raised up on the cross as God's remedy for our sin, so that all who put their trust in what he has done for us can be made right with God and receive the gift of life. Not the kind of life that the world gives that we have seen over the past couple of weeks can so easily be stripped away. But true life, the life of knowing God, of enjoying his goodness, resting in his care. So what should we do when God brings snakes into our lives? Psalm 107 talks about this issue as well, and it describes all kinds of circumstances and trouble and difficulties that people face. And it lists them one by one and describes them, and after each description, the psalmist says these words. He says, they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. The prophet Hosea says something similar in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 1, and Pastor Brian has actually given a devotional on this that's online, and you can find it online there. Hosea says this, he says, come, let us return to the Lord. Because he has torn us. He has torn us. He has sent the snakes. So that he may heal us. I don't know if God has brought this pandemic as judgment on the world. But what I do know is that he wants to get our attention.
Amen.
So that we will cry out to him. So that we will turn to him in our trouble and find in him the security and the assurance that we need. So my prayer for us in this time of uncertainty and upheaval, when the things that we depend on are being taken away from us, my prayer is that each of us listen for God, that we give him our attention, that we allow him to examine us and do the work in us that he wants to do in order to meet our deepest need. Maybe it will require a reordering of your priorities and God will make that apparent to you. Or maybe it's showing you how much trust you put in the things that can't provide for us the security that we're looking for. Or maybe you've pushed God to the margins of your life. Perhaps you've been ignoring him altogether. Perhaps he simply wants to show you that you can rest in the assurance of his loving care and know his peace in the midst of the storm. Whatever it is, and we all come to this with different things, let God get your attention. Let him do the work in you that he wants to do.
Yes.
He doesn't send snakes to hurt us. He sends them to heal us. And when we cry out to the Lord, his promise is that he will deliver us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the hope that you have given us in Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that you are not content to allow us to try to draw life from the things of this world. And that you are willing even to strip them away from us so that you can show us that you are our life. And that the life that we so often ignore when we ignore you is the abundant life that we were made for. So, Father, in this time, I pray for myself and for your people that you will do your work in us. Get our attention. Show us the things that we cling to that distract us from the life that you have for us. And Lord, may we all turn our face to the cross and cry out, Lord, have mercy. So that you can turn and heal us. We pray these things in Jesus' name.